بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We finished the first two points that was made mention of Sufi Iqbal Sahib before the bayan of Shah Ahmad Shaheed Rahmatullah Alayh. The first that he had made mention was that a person, he has to make islah of the heart, he has to correct the heart. And if the heart is corrected, then automatically the amal of a person will then be corrected. And for the correctness of the heart, he has to go stay under the tarbiyat, under the nurturing of some Shaykh-e Kamil, and he must do a course of Zikrullah under the Shaykh-e Kamil. And it is through the barakat of the Zikrullah that a person will attain some level of concentration in his salah. The second point that he made mention of, he said that a person should correct his niyat, that why is it that you want to perform a perfect salah, a correct salah, why are you making this effort? And primarily this effort should be for the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. I'm doing this for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And not that I am fully absorbed in my salah, and people then say that look at the type of salah this person is performing. And we made mention in regards to ikhlas and sincerity, and how riya, ostentation, it enters into a person many a times. And he doesn't even realize, like we mentioned in that hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, like a black ant on a pitch black night, on a pitch black rock, that you cannot even see the ant, you cannot even hear the movement of that ant. And more silently than that, riya enters into a person. And as Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala said, that we all destroyed O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, read this dua every day and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will protect you. Mawlana Thani rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, he says that this ikhlas, this sincerity, many people think that I have ikhlas, that I have sincerity. He says, ikhlas doesn't come in so quickly. Ikhlas comes into a person later in life, towards the end of his life, later on. This is when true ikhlas comes into a person. And ikhlas doesn't come just like that also. Our Hazrat many times explained, he says that Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, he says that ikhlas will not come into you until you stay under the tarbiyat of some ahlullah, some buzruk, some pious person. And you straighten his shoes. He says only then will ikhlas and sincerity come into a person. Once Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, he asked Abdul Ghani Sahib Pulpuri rahmatullahi alayhi, he said, is there a stage higher than ikhlas also? When ikhlas comes in a person towards the end of his life, he said, is there a stage that is higher than ikhlas? So he said, Hazrat, you tell me. So he said, a stage that is higher than ikhlas is what we call rada bil qadah. To be happy with the decision of Allah Ta'ala. That whatever condition a person goes through, a person is happy with the decision of Allah, this is what we call rada bil qadah. So he says, this is the stage that is higher than ikhlas. So over here also, sincerity is required. That why is it that I am studying this kitab? The third point. He says, khushu wa khudu, or huzure qalb wali namaz hi baru hai. He says, a salah that is performed with concentration, devotion, khushu and khudu, and where the heart of a person is present in that salah, he is conscious in that salah, this is a salah of life. Where there is khushu, khudu and the heart is present in salah, then this is a salah that has ruh in it. Magar khushu or huzur se murad ikhtiyari khushu hai. But he said, what is meant by khushu and the presence of the heart? He said, this refers to that khushu that is within your control. Doesn't refer to khushu that is beyond your control. Khushu that is within your control. Now what is meant by khushu that is within your control? He says, yani namaz ke faraiz, wajibat, sunan, aur mustahabbat ke adaigi ka itminan aur hosh se ihtimam karna. He said, khushu that is within the control of a person, this refers to fulfilling the faraiz of salah. Whatever is faraz in namaz, the wajibat of namaz, the sunnats of namaz, and those things that are mustahab in namaz, with ease and consciousness, a person, he fulfills this. In other words, he does all the faraiz, the wajibat, the sunan, the mustahabbat. Then this will be considered as a salah that is performed with khushu. And a salah that is performed with khushu, that is a salah that has life in it. Or dil ko qasdan kisi dusri taraf mutawajjih na karna. And he says, together with this, together with fulfilling the faraiz, wajibat, sunan and mustahabbat, intentionally, a person shouldn't take his heart in a different direction. Don't turn your heart in some other direction. Meaning in salah now, don't start thinking of something else intentionally. Agar khud ba khud dunyawi khiyal aa jaye, balke be shumar wasawit bhi aaye, لیکن نمازی اپنے قصد سے آگے آنے والے اسباق میں مشغول رہے تو یہ حالت نماز کے باروح ہونے کے منافی نہیں. He says, if some thoughts of the world, worldly thoughts, come to you while in salah, on their own, but not that you entertained these thoughts, you brought them intentionally in your mind, on their own, some worldly thoughts came. In fact, if there are unlimited wasawis and whispers of shaitan that come into the mind of a person, but the person that is performing salah, he remains occupied, he remains busy in that, in those actions that are subsequent, that are to follow, then this salah will not be contrary to a salah of life. Meaning that if some thoughts come in salah or some whispers of shaitan come to a person in salah, but he keeps his mind busy with what I have to do next in salah. For example, I'm reading Surah Fatiha. Next I will have to read a surah. After this I will have to go into ruku. So he is now, his mind is occupied with what is ahead, how he is going to perform his salah ahead. So he says this salah is also regarded as a salah that has life in it, a salah that has ruh in it. Now these thoughts, they come automatically in a person. It's not that a person intentionally, like we mentioned previously also, dil ka lagna faraz nahi hai, dil ka lagana faraz hai. That automatically for the heart to be totally absorbed in salah, this is not required. But when the heart moves away now, to bring the heart back in salah, that is what is required. An example is given of this, like in India, that there are so many, there is a road that is going in one direction. But on that road that is going in a particular direction, you will find that there are trucks also moving on that road. And there are buses also moving in that road. And on one side, there's cars also on that road. Then you'll find somebody, he's pushing his cart on that road. Somebody has got a donkey and cart, horse and cart, he's also on that road. Somebody is with his scooter on that road. Somebody is with his bicycle in that road. So there's so many people, all are going on that very same road. Now if a person, he's going to start worrying about who's this side and who's on that side, what is going to happen? He's going to make an accident. He's going to bump into somebody. All he has to do is worry on the side that you are, that where you are driving, and just look ahead and continue. You'll reach your destination. So exactly the same way in salah, that just see what I have to do ahead and continue with your salah, and that salah will be regarded as a salah that has ruh in it. Now this thought that come, many, many people complain of this, but it is not something that is harmful to a person. Like Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they also came to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahaba also complained. They said, Ya Rasulullah, that we experience such thoughts come to us, that these thoughts we cannot even bring onto our tongue. We cannot even explain these thoughts that are coming. That is a fear. We fear that do we still remain as mu'min, as Muslims, that we are entertaining such thoughts that are coming to our mind. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Zaka sarihul iman. That is clear iman. That's the indication you got iman. That is why these thoughts are coming. As I mentioned the other day also, that shaitan only troubles a person that got something. A person that doesn't have nothing, shaitan is not foolish. He's not going to go and trouble that person. So he says this is the indication of iman. That is mentioned in regards to the aspect of taqdeer. Of taqdeer, that a person shouldn't go too much in this subject. Why? Because when a person goes, he dwells too much in this subject, then there's a lot of questions that come about thereafter. So shaitan, he brings about these questions, that who created this, who created that, who created that. And then finally he comes to that point where he says that man khalaq Allah, that who created Allah Ta'ala. And now the iman of a person is in danger. So these type of thoughts a person doesn't go into. At that time a person should say, Amantu billahi wa rusuli. I believe in Allah Ta'ala and I believe in all the rasuls of Allah Ta'ala, all the messengers that Allah Ta'ala has brought. I bring iman on them. Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi alayhi, very, very great iman. Imam Tafsir al-Kabir, he had written also. He wrote 100 proofs on the existence of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. 100 proofs that Allah ta'ala exists. It is mentioned when he was in Sakarat, when he was leaving the world, at that time shaitan came. And the proof that he had that he had written, he broke every proof of Imam Fakhruddin Razi rahmatullahi. Shaitan is not a fool. He's a great alim also. And our Shaykh says, Hazrat says, he says that shaitan, for a normal person, there's a normal shaitan for him. And for a person that is an alim, he said that shaitan is also an alim. And for a person that is higher, maybe he's a mufti or maybe whatever it is, he says for him there's a special shaitan. So shaitan won't trick everyone the same way. He knows exactly what is the position of this person, and according to that, shaitan will trick him. So, and shaitan will lead him astray. So he broke all those proofs. So Allah Ta'ala made kashf to his sheikh, and he was making wudu at that time. So while she was making wudu, the lota with which she was making wudu, he threw that lota. And then he said, that say without proof, I believe in Allah Ta'ala. And then he said this. And then he passed away, he left this, whether at that stage or later on, Allahu Alam. But this is how shaitan comes to a person even at the time of death. So these thoughts affect a person. So there are many prescriptions that have been mentioned in regards to this, that these thoughts that come to a person out of salah, how should he treat it? So one is, a person, he can gain the qurb and the closeness of Allah Ta'ala through these thoughts. How? Because shaitan, his whole intention is to take you away from salah. But this is, I'm talking of out of salah. That shaitan wants to take you away. So a person should think to himself that my heart is so small. Such a small heart I got. But in the small heart that I got, there are so many things that I can think of. I can be thinking of something happening at home. I can be thinking of my workplace. And then I'm thinking of something else somewhere else. In a little while, I'm thinking of so much. So shaitan wanted to take you away from Allah Ta'ala. You now started thinking of the greatness of Allah, that in the small heart that Allah Ta'ala created, there are so many things I can think of. So it brought a person closer to Allah Ta'ala. Another prescription that has been mentioned, وَإِمَّا يَنْزَغَنَّكَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ نَزْغٌ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ. That if a whisper from shaitan comes to you, then at that time seek the protection of Allah Ta'ala. Meaning when these thoughts come, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And even up to this day, many, many mashayikhs, even up to this day, we find that a person, evil thoughts come to him, or a person wants to get involved in some haram relationship. So they say that when the thought of this haram relationship comes to you, then just read أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. Our Hazrat explained this, he says, like a person that he wants to go and see one wealthy person. So he wants to visit him at his house. So that person who is a wealthy person, he got big dogs, because he needs his house to be protected. He's got a lot of wealth in his home. He's got his family there. So he keeps big, big dogs, right? Rottweilers and Alsatians and whatever other dogs. So he got these dogs. So he says, now if you want to visit him, you're going to go there, you'll open the gate and go inside, or you jump the fence and you go inside. Those dogs, they'll tear you apart. So he says, what you require to do? All you need to do is you make one phone call. You make one phone call and tell the owner of the house that I want to come and visit you at a certain time. Or I'm outside the house today, his cell phone. You just phone from outside, you said I'm outside. And he comes out. What he will do, he will take you in and you just tell the dog to move. And you will enter safely into the person's house. He says, exactly the same way, so to say, just for our understanding, shaitan is the dog of Allah Ta'ala. He is the dog of Allah Ta'ala. So we just take protection from Allah Ta'ala, that Allah, you protect us, and Allah Ta'ala will protect us. And another example is given, is a person, he's walking down the street. So when he's walking down the street on that road, the houses, there's all dogs. So when you pass the house, that dog that is there is going to start barking at you. The dog will bark. But the moment you walk away, after a little while, the dog gets tired and the dog is going to stop barking. So exactly the same way, when the thoughts come to us in salah, just don't entertain that thought. Don't think of it. And after a little while, that thought will disappear. That thought will be gone. But that dog that was on the street, if you now start retaliating, now like children, they like to take a stone and throw it at the dog. So now if you're going to retaliate, what's going to happen? You gave attention to that dog. So that dog is going to bark more and more. So you gave attention to that thought that came to you in salah. So what's going to happen? Shaitan got attention from you. So shaitan is going to trouble you even further. So this is one prescription that has been given for these thoughts out of salah, that a person should read أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Another prescription that has been given in the hadith, لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. Which has been mentioned the other day also, that لا حول عن معصية الله إلا بعصمة الله ولا طاعة على قوة الله إلا بعون الله. That we have no ability, we have no power to stay away from the disobedience of Allah. Where can we stay away from the disobedience of Allah? إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. Yusuf alayhi salam, such a great Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, he is saying that this nafs that we have is not أَمَرَ بِالسُّوءِ. He says أَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. It commands a lot with evil. Except who Allah Ta'ala has mercy upon. Who Allah Ta'ala has mercy. So a person, he cannot stay away from the disobedience of Allah except with the protection of Allah Ta'ala. When Allah Ta'ala protects us, we will stay away from evil. وَلَا قُوَّةَ عَلَىٰ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. And a person doesn't have the ability of obeying Allah إِلَّا بِعَوْنِ اللَّهِ, except with the assistance of Allah Ta'ala. As we mentioned this before also, that the example that is given, that a person, he comes for Fajr, for the Faras Salah. And he came before the Adhan also. He came before the Adhan. He he made his wudu, he came into the masjid, he read tahiyyatul masjid, tahiyyatul wudu, and he made the sunnahs also. Now it's few minutes, 2-3 minutes before the farz namaz. And what happens? The stomach starts troubling. The stomach is troubling. Now he has to leave. He has to go and relieve himself. So now he goes to the toilet. And by the time he finishes, and he makes his wudu, and he comes back to the masjid, jamaat is over. So through whose ability are we performing the salah? Allah Ta'ala's ability. That is why the muaddin, when he says, Hayya ala salah, how do we reply? Everywhere else you will repeat the same words as the muaddin. But here you will say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Through Allah's ability, Allah's tawfiq, that I will come to the masjid, and I will be able to perform salah. Now this La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, it comes in some places, Tanzum min tahtil arsh. This is a treasure. It is a treasure. A treasure is something people don't know about. Something that is hidden. That is a treasure. So this is a treasure from beneath the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And some places it comes, Kanzum min kunuzil jannah. It is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah. So the actual prescription is that a person is supposed to read La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah 70 times every morning, and he's supposed to read it 70 times every evening. But as it says, that in today's time there's weakness in us. So our mashayikh have made it very easy. Like the zikr in the previous time, you should start at 24,000 and then go to 125. Where can a person do it today? So our mashayikh made it very easy. They say for every good deed that you do, man ja'a bil hasanati falahu ashru amthaliha. You bring one good deed, Allah Ta'ala multiplies it by 10 for you. We fast 30 days of Ramadan, and thereafter, subsequent to that, follow it up with 6 more. 36. 36 times 10, 360. Whole year's roza, you get thawab. So here also, the mashayikh made it very easy. They said that you do it 7 times. In this day and age, you do it 7 times. And that will be multiplied by 10. 7 times 10, 70. So it is as though you read La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah 70 times in the morning. And you do it 7 times in the evening, you get the reward of doing it 70 times in the evening. And through this, Allah Ta'ala will protect a person from various thoughts. The third is a dua that we are taught, where we should make this dua, Allahumma ja'al wasawisa qalbi khashyataka wa zikrak. That these wasawis that are coming to me, many people complain that at night when you're going to sleep, the last thing at night, so many evil thoughts come to me. I want to do this wrong, I want to do that wrong. So at the time of sleeping, these thoughts come to us. So make this dua, Allahumma ja'al wasawisa qalbi. O Allah, make these wasawis of my heart, these whispers that are coming to my heart, turn it khashyatak into your fear, and turn it into your zikr. Make it your fear and turn it into your zikr. So these are some of the prescriptions that have been given. What is explained, he says that these thoughts that come to a person, this is an indication of weakness of the mind also. That the mind of a person is very weak. That is why he is affected with these thoughts. So he says that from a health point of view also, a person, he should eat a lot of like walnuts, almonds, badam. So he says all these things, they will strengthen the mind. Jeez, so these thoughts that we are talking, so he said that if these thoughts come to a person in salah, if they were dunyawi thoughts, or many, many whispers of shaitan also come to a person. He says, but a person, he worries about his sabak that is ahead, his mind is occupied in this, then this is not against a salah of life. Aisi halat mein laddat mahwiyat mein kami aur mujahada mein ziyadati hona ek to ajr mein ziyadati ka ba'is hoga. He says that in this condition where these thoughts are troubling you in namaz all the time, what's going to happen? There will be a decrease in the enjoyment of absorption. Meaning everyone wants to read a salah where he is totally absorbed in his salah, only him and Allah Ta'ala. But when the thoughts are going to come, so that enjoyment that a person would have got in reading a salah full with concentration is going to now decrease. He's not going to get that enjoyment. Why? Because the mind was drifting away. And now he has to bring his mind back into salah. So he's not going to get that enjoyment. If a person read a complete salah from the beginning to the end, it was only him and his Allah. At the end of that salah, what enjoyment he'll get. So now he won't get this because of the thoughts coming. Or mujahada mein ziyadati hona. And increase in mujahada. And now because he has to continuously bring his mind back, so he has to make more effort. Whereas if your mind was now connected, your heart was connected to Allah Ta'ala, you don't have to go through the difficulty of always bringing your mind back into salah. So he says that in this condition, where there will be a decrease of the enjoyment of absorption, and there will be more mujahada, ek to ajr mein ziyadati ka ba'ith hoga. He says this will become a means of you gaining more sawab. That less enjoyment and more mujahada, more sacrifice in your salah, of bringing back your concentration, you're going to get much more sawab now. because you're going through the difficulty. Whereas if you had complete concentration, then you wouldn't have got the salah. Number one. Number two, دوسرا طبعی طور پر اپنی نماز کو ناقص سمجھتا رہے گا. He says the second thing that will happen, that when you read this type of a namaz, you will say my namaz is incomplete. My namaz is not a perfect salah. Because I was thinking of other things. My business was coming to me in salah. My home was coming to me in my salah. Some meeting, this was coming to me in my salah. So how can this be a perfect salah? جس کی وجہ سے عجب سے حفاظت رہے گی. And he says, because of this, a person will be protected from ujub. A person will be protected from vanity. Vanity is where, pride is where you look down upon another person. That is pride. You better and he is lower than me. That is pride. بطر الحق وغمط الناس. That you refute the truth and you look down upon other people. That is pride. Vanity is where you don't look down upon the next person. But you feel, I'm good. I'm good. In what I have done, I'm good. So you regard yourself as good. This is ujub. A person that has ujab, he won't even smell the fragrance of Jannah. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the battle of Hunain. They say there were so many Sahaba that went to fight this particular battle, that in any other previous battle, they didn't have so many Sahaba at this stage, like when they went to fight at this battle. So Allah Ta'ala says that Allah Ta'ala, لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرَةٍ وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنِ. Allah Ta'ala assisted you on various occasions. And particularly remember that day of Hunain where Allah Ta'ala had assisted you. What was the condition? Allah Ta'ala says, إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. See, ujab. When your numbers were so many that this amazed you, this brought ujab into you. This brought this feeling that today we got numbers, today we'll be able to fight. So this brought ujab into sahaba. فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. It did not benefit you. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. The earth became narrowed upon you in spite of its vastness. ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُ مُدْبِرِينَ. Then you turned away from the battlefield. It mentioned that Sahaba left the battlefield and they all dispersed. And I think then Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, he said Abbas radiallahu ta'ala had a very, very loud voice. For miles his voice would travel. So Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu told him to make i'lan and call the Sahaba. And then finally Sahaba came. Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَى رَسُولِهِ وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Then Allah Ta'ala sent down His sakina, His tranquility upon His Rasul and upon the believers. وَأَنزَلَ جُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And Allah Ta'ala sent down armies of the farishtas which you could not see. وَعَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And then Allah Ta'ala punished the kuffar. But you went through that difficulty. Why? Because this quality of ujab came into you. That today you looked at your numbers. So when a person, he thinks that ujab comes into him, that this namaz of mine was okay, I read a good namaz, finished, that namaz is down, is gone. So when a person, he doesn't have full concentration in salah, he doesn't have complete concentration, he's losing concentration, he's making an effort, one is more sawab. Number two, he is protected from ujab. Allah Ta'ala protects him. اگر ساری عمر بھی یہ حالت رہے تو مقصد اصلی رضا الہی میں پورا کامیابی ہے. He says that if this is the condition of a person throughout his life, then in his actual objective, which is the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this person has been successful. If he reads namaz throughout his life like this, then too this person is successful. اگر کہ عام طور پر یہ مجاہدہ جلد ہی ختم ہو جاتا ہے. He says that even though that in a short period of time, in a very, very short period of time, he says this mujahada, this sacrifice where you lose concentration, bring back concentration, you go through it for a little while and then it will come to an end. Aur mahbub ke saath yaksui se sargoshi ki lazzat naseeb ho jati hai. And he says that a person, he is then blessed with the enjoyment of being alone with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and whispering and talking to his beloved Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Very soon a person, he reaches this condition. Muhabbat intiha mein mushkile aasan karti hai, magar is fitna gar ki ittida mushkil se hoti hai. He says that love is such a thing that in the end of it, it removes all difficulties, it makes it easy for a person. But initially it is difficult. But when a person, he has love for something, he has love for somebody, then irrespective of what he has to go through, he will go through it. It will make it easy for a person. A person wants to get married. So now when he wants to get married, and especially if the wedding is not according to Sharia, how much he has to go through? He has to organize the hall, and how that hall has to be done up. And then he has to buy such type of, this type of clothing, and that type of clothing. And he has to organize, go here for honeymoon, and all this, which is all against Sharia. But he goes through all that. Because why? That girl that he wants to get married to, he knows that he's got some love for her. He's got some muhabbat for her. So it makes so many things easy for a person. A person, he's got his wife, he's got his children. Now he knows the occasion of Eid is coming. So now he has to go to buy do Eid shopping. Go and buy clothing for his wife, buy clothing for his children. So now he has to go shop to shop, which is not easy. Person has to go all this shop, that shop, doesn't get his size in one shop, now go to another shop, look for the size. And then a couple of hours go in this way, sometimes a couple of days even go. And now a person finally gets it. But why does he do it? Because he loves that wife of his. Because he loves that those children of his. So he says this is love, that what is difficult, it becomes easy for a person. So this is the third lesson that Hazrat Sufi Iqbal rahimahullah ta'ala has written. The fourth, he says, Noor-e Chaharum. Is azim daulat ka ek darja iske ahl yani zakir wa shagil salik ko inshaallah ba tawfiq ilahi panch azbaq pure karne ke baad hasil ho jayega. He said this great treasure that we're talking about of concentration, of devotion. He says that the person that makes the zikr of Allah Ta'ala and spiritual exercises, and a person that is treading the path of Allah Ta'ala, the salik, that one level of this inshaallah with the tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala you will attain. He says, after completing these five lessons that are here, inshallah you will attain it. Phir isme sari umar tarakki karta rahe. Then a person, once he attains some level of khushu and khudu in his salah, that's not the highest level, you just, a portion of it you have attained. Now make an effort throughout your life to increase this. Person should continuously now make an effort and increase, build upon this. Throughout his life, till the end of his life, nobody can read a perfect salah till the end of his life. Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make the ibadah of Allah ta'ala whole night. And then he used to make dua, ma abadnaka haqqa ibadati. Wallah, we have not made your ibadat in the manner we're supposed to make your ibadat. Ma arafnaka haqqa ma'rifati. We have not recognized you in the manner we're supposed to recognize you. The best qari in the world, he can be reading Quran Sharif. But where can he even fulfill the rights of Quran? Where can we fulfill the rights of namaz? So a person got to continuously strive and make an effort to increase. As Hazrat also mentioned, that there are three categories of people. And the one category is what we call naqid. Naqid is that person, he objects. Everything he sees, he raises an objection to it. This person, he won't go far. He doesn't go far. Because everything he sees, he raises an objection. There was one person, so somebody told him that there is a buzruk in a certain locality, in a certain town. Go and stay in his company, and you will benefit in his company. So he said, okay. So he decided to go. The buzruk was in a certain town. He came close to the town. When he came to this buzruk, he was a baker. So he was baking. There's no problem. A person is a great wali of Allah Ta'ala and he's involved in some occupation. Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam used to work with his own hands and he used to eat from there. Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam was a carpenter. Ambiya alayhi salatu wasalam. So he was busy baking and he had all the flour, everything on him. So the thought came to his mind. He said, how can this be a buzruk? That he is a baker, all the flour is on him, and this, the people told me, he's a pious man. So perhaps he had kashf. So he told this person, when he came there, he made salam, he said that you won't benefit from me. You're not going to benefit. Why? He already, that objection came in his heart. He said, you won't benefit. You rather go somewhere else, you will benefit over there. Allama Khalid Kurdi rahmatullah alayh. Very, very great alim. And the desire came to him, I'm looking for Allah Ta'ala. I also want my Allah. So it is mentioned that it was the time of Hajj. So he said, let me go for Hajj. So he came to Madinatul Munawwara. So he said, perhaps I'll meet some wali of Allah Ta'ala, some friend of Allah Ta'ala over here. So he spent his time in Madinatul Munawwara. And he met somebody. He told him, go to Makkatul Mukarramah. You go to Makkah Sharif. But one thing, don't criticize, don't raise an objection against anyone, no matter what you see. Today also, if we go to Makkatul Mukarramah, you go for Hajj, you go for Umrah, people do so many things. So what is our objective of going there? Worry about our work. Do our work. Don't worry about the rest of the people. We worry about the rest of the people, we forget ourselves. So he said that don't raise an objection on anyone. So when he came into the Makkah Sharif, when he entered the Haram of Makkah, when he walked in, he saw one person sitting with his back against Kaaba Sharif and his legs stretched out. So immediately the thought came to his mind. He said that this is bi'adabi. But he forgot what the buzruk told him in Madina Sharif. He said, don't raise objection on anyone. So this person immediately told him. He said, what did the buzruk tell you in Madina Sharif? So he said, Hazrat, make maaf. He said, make me bad. He says, no, I can't make you bad. He says, your share has been written in Delhi. you go to Delhi and you'll take bayat to your sheikh there. So then after Hajj, he went to Delhi and he took bayat. At that time, I think Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali, it was his time. So Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali, he was such a great muhaddith. And he came to meet Allama Khalid Qurbi Rahmatullah Ali. So he said that these 40 days I have given to my sheikh, I have come for my islah. That in these 40 days, I won't even meet you in these 40 days. But after these 40 days, then I will come myself and I'll come and meet you. But leave me, I come for my islah. This our Hazrat explains, Allah Ta'ala has put in my heart. Hazrat says that one is ikhlas. And he says a level higher than ikhlas, our Hazrat says, is what we call istikhlas. He says that, for example, a person, Hazrat gives an example, he says, for example, is a majlis that is taking place. Here we have our monthly majlis once a month. So when we have the monthly majlis, or we have the weekly majlis every Tuesday. Now somebody is coming for the monthly majlis, people come from Durban also, people come from Cape Town also. So now he says, that person that is coming from Durban, so what he does, he will say, I'm going for majlis. But at the same time, let me do some other work also. I'll do some other work, I'll finish my work that I got, maybe some business or something in Johannesburg. There's nothing wrong with it. It's 100% in order. He says, I'll do that also and then I'll return. So he says that istikhlas is that I come only for majlis and that is the only objective, and after majlis I return home. He says that is istikhlas. Hazrat says that when I used to go to the Khanka in Karachi, Bazar Rakim Sahib Rahmatullahi, when I used to walk into the Khanka, I used to take my champal out and put it on the rack. Next, I'll put the champal on when I'm leaving to come back home. That is istikhlas. He says many a times Mufti Taqi Sahib will come, Mufti Rafi Usmani Sahib will come. And they know Hazrat so well. So they say, you must come. You must come to our place. So Hazrat says, this is the time I came for my islah over here. So next time we'll see, but not this time. So same, Allama Khalid Qurdi Rahmatullah Ali. He never saw Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Ali also. But the point that we're explaining over here is one is naqid, a person that raised the objection. That person, he won't benefit. Maulana Atlam Sahib Sheikh Puri, what a great mufassir of the Quran. I just quoted him the other day as well. It's mentioned regarding him. He's written in one of his kitabs that Mawlana Muzaffar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullahi, he said that any madrasa, any institute of deen, he said if you can help them financially, then help them financially, Allah Ta'ala will give you barakat in your home. If Allah Ta'ala didn't give you the finance, you can't assist them financially. He said the second thing you should do is give mashwara. Help them with your mashwara, with whatever expertise Allah Ta'ala has given you. Support them and assist them. Allah Ta'ala will give you barakat in your home. And he says never ever contradict them and go against them. If you will oppose any institute of deen, Allah Ta'ala will deprive you and your family from Quran Sharif coming into your home. So this naqid, a person that objects to everything, this is a very dangerous state. A person, for example, somebody is doing some work of deen, but you made dua for him. All you did, you picked up your hand. You made dua, Allah Ta'ala give him barakat. Allah Ta'ala take him from strength to strength. On that dua, you already got a share there. And when you oppose him, then you lost everything. And for a person to have ill thoughts about somebody, or to oppose somebody, that this is not right and that is not right, you'll have to bring proof tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah before Allah Ta'ala. So that is naqid. And the second type of a person that you get is a qani'. A man that is content, he is happy. That where I am, I'm fine with it. Like Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi said, that after 60 years, I see people that they're reading namaz for years and years. They don't even worry, they're so happy with their salah. And we, after 60 years of khidmat of deen, we still have to refer to the kitabs for the masail of deen. So that is a qani', a person that is content. He doesn't get anywhere. He's just content, he stays where he is. And the third person that you get is talib, a person that got desire. The man that got desire, that person will go very far. A person that's qani'a is like the person, he took a ball and he threw the ball up. So with what force you threw the ball, that's how high the ball is going to go. But finally the ball will come to a stage where it stops. The ball is going to stop. So when the ball stops, what's going to happen? It's going to start dropping. And when it drops, it's going to drop faster than what it, and what it, and what it went up. So a man that is content, he doesn't go far, but in fact he starts dropping. The potential that Allah Ta'ala has given us, when a person stops using this potential, you find that a person, he starts dropping. And the more a person uses the potential, the more a person, his istiadar, his ability increases. So that is qani'. And talib is that person that wants to increase all the time, this person will get somewhere. So here also it says that now you have a level, a degree of this khushu and khudu. Don't be content with this. But build on this for the rest of your life and increase this khushu and khudu that you have got already. Magar pehle ek chilla in azbab ka khususi ihtimam kare. But for 40 days, a person should give special importance to these lessons. These lessons that you have learned, that for 40 days, give special attention to these lessons. Taki istiqamat aur pukhtagi hasil ho. So that you gain istiqamat, perseverance, steadfastness, and you will gain firmness in this. In 40 roz mein, iski bhi koshish kare, ke kisi namaz ki takbir-e-ula fort na ho. In these 40 days, that you're going to give attention to these sabak, you're going to practice on this. He says, together with this, make sure you don't miss takbir-e-ula in the masjid. When you come for your salah, read your salah with takbir-e-ula. Taki nifaq se baraat hasil ho jaye. He says, so that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala purifies a person, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala frees a person from hypocrisy. If a person reads his salah for 40 days with takbir-e-ula, two certificates he gets. Bara'atum minan nifaq, bara'atum minan nar. That he's got freedom from hypocrisy and from the fire of Jahannam. So he says, Allah Ta'ala will protect you from hypocrisy. Ghaflat wali namaz parna munafaqat ka ek asar hai. He says, when a person reads a namaz, he is negligent of Allah Ta'ala, his heart is not connected to Allah Ta'ala, this is the result of ghaflat. This is the result of munafaqat, of hypocrisy. When you're reading a salah of unmindfulness, this is the result of hypocrisy. There is some hypocrisy that is there. That is why you are reading this type of namaz. Aur hadith paak mein aaya hai, it is also mentioned in the hadith, ke jo shakh 40 roz is tarah namaz pare, ke shuru mein imam ke saath sharik ho. A person that reads namaz for 40 days in this way, that from the beginning he is together with the imam. Aur namaz shuru karne ki takbir, jab imam kahe, to usi waqt ye bhi namaz mein sharik ho jaye. And when the imam says Allahu Akbar, he says the takbir to commence salah, then at that time you also together with the imam. تو وہ شخص نہ تو جہنم میں داخل ہوگا نہ منافقوں میں داخل ہوگا. Then he won't be amongst the hypocrites also, and he will not be from amongst those people that will enter جہنم. اللہ تعالیٰ سے وقت منافق وہ لوگ کہلاتے ہیں جو اپنے کو مسلمان ظاہر کرے لیکن دل میں کفر رکھتے ہو. A منافق is that person that exposes himself, he shows himself that he is a Muslim, but in his heart there is kufr. اور 40 دن کی خصوصیت بظاہر اس وجہ سے ہے. He says, now why 40 days you must read namaz behind the imam for 40 days with takbir-e-ula? He says, the speciality of 40 days is for this reason, کہ حالات کے تغیر میں 40 دن کو خاص دخل ہے. That in the changing of conditions in a person, 40 days has a special effect. That within a 40 day period, we find that the change can come into a person. So 40 days has a special effect in changing one's condition. That is why Jamaat also is 40 days. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he went to the Mount of Tur, there also it was 40 days. So 40 days has a special effect. Chunanche, aadmi ki pedaish ke tartib, jis hadith mein aayi hai, isme 40 din tak nutfa rehna, phir gosht tak tukra, 40 din tak. Isi tarah 40-40 roz iska taghayyur zikr farmaya hai. It says that the child that is born in the womb of the mother, that is formed in the womb of the mother. So this child, every 40 days there is a change in the child. First it is a drop of sperm, and that is 40 days. Then it becomes blood 40 days. Then it becomes flesh 40 days. Then it becomes bone 40 days. So every 40 days a change takes place in the womb of the mother as well. Usi wajah se sufiya ke yahan chilla bhi khas ahmiyat rakhta hai. It is for this reason that when you go in the khanqahs, by the Sufis, by the Ahlullah, then they stress on 40 days, as it's mentioned many times, that at least once in your life, come and spend this 40 days. And you will benefit for the rest of your life for the 40 days that you have spent. There are those people in the past, they used to keep roza 40 days. And they say in that 40 days, they used to only drink a sip of water at the time of iftar, nothing else. And that too to stay away from the karahat. Because if you don't eat anything, then it's going to become makruh. So now, to stay away from the karahat, they'll have just a sip of water. And they say that at the end of that 40 days, there's a special ruhaniyat and spirituality that Allah Ta'ala blesses a person with. Like now in the month of Ramadan, Hazrat Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri, rahmatullahi alayhi, what he used to drink? Only finjan. When Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib Raipuri, rahmatullahi alayhi, told him, that what are you doing? You're going to become very, very weak. So Shah Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri, rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that the enjoyment of Jannat I'm getting in this world. Mullah Khalil Ahmad Sahib Sarunpuri, rahmatullahi alayhi, is tehri and iftar put together, 1.5 rotis, that's all. When his khadim will say, Hazrat, eat more. He said, no, I don't need more. 1.5 rotis. So here, it says 40 days has a special importance. Kitne khush kismat hai wo log, jin ki barso bhi takbir hai, ula fourth nahi hoti, fourth nahi hoti, fourth nahi hoti. How fortunate are those people that for years, they haven't missed a takbir ula. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq also, inshaAllah.